Now, tell me about your father.
City Counselling on 95 BFM, our weekly chat with the good people of Auckland Council.
Earlier this week, Auckland Mayor Wayne Brown released his draft mayoral proposal for Auckland Council's annual plan for the year 2025-26. Within this, a major part of the proposal is a council-controlled organisation reform, which could see Auckland Transport stripped of its planning, strategy and policy roles, or council's Urban Regeneration Agency, Ekapanaku Development, abolished, and the roles of the council's Economic Development and Regional Facilities Agency, Tātaki Development Auckland, reduced. Additionally, a new space for homeless support in Auckland City Centre, Manaaki Tangata, has opened up as a collaboration between Māori Wardens, Auckland Council and Ekapanaku Development Auckland. I caught up with Councillor Julie Ferry about both of these topics. I wanted to start with talking about Wayne Brown's draft mayoral proposal for Auckland Council's annual plan. A major part of the proposal is a council-controlled organisation reform for Auckland Transport, Ekapanaku and Tātaki Auckland Unlimited. Firstly, how is Brown looking to change these agencies?
Well, he's looking at some very major change and potentially bringing a lot of the planning and strategy work for Auckland Transport in-house. So that would be Auckland councillors deciding on that work, and then Auckland Transport becomes more focused on delivery. And then with the other two, potentially looking at maybe even disestablishing them entirely and bringing the work that they do in-house to council. So it's really important to understand that at this point, the conversation is not that council as a family stops doing the things that Ekapanaku and Tātaki Auckland Unlimited do or gets rid of those jobs. It's more that they would potentially shift from being at arm's length through an organisation that has its own board and things like that to being directly run from council. So I just want to be really clear about that, because there's a lot of value in what staff do now. They do a fantastic job with quite a small amount of resources in those council-controlled organisations. So this is not a reflection on the work that they do or them as individuals. It's more about where should this work sit and how much democratic control should there be over that work rather than individual staff members. So I just want to be really clear about that up front.
With the CCO reform package, Brown expects Aucklanders will see significant improvements in three key areas: strategic alignment and integration, democratic accountability and transparency, and better value and outcomes for Aucklanders. How do you think that a CCO reform could achieve these goals?
I think there's a lot of pros and cons with this that we need to quite carefully work through. So there is, for example, for Tātaki Auckland Unlimited, there's a lot of funding that they're able to attract because they're at arm's length that would not be available if it were, say, council directly applying or council holding those direct relationships. So that sort of, that could be an unintended consequence where there's money that comes in because they are at arm's length, which would not come in. So we're talking about and working that through at the moment. What could that look like? Because there may also then be more improvement in terms of direct oversight by elected people as opposed to at the moment boards that are unelected, which we would hope would mean that if we're making the decisions about land use and open space provision and things like that, that would then mean that we have a more of an overview in making those decisions in the economic development or the regeneration space as well, more joined up thinking. That's the idea, but we do need to be really careful about unintended consequences and potentially some of the relationships and things that have been built, making sure that if the work does come in-house, that those relationships and things come with it rather than severing them.
Well, there are quite a few elements to this proposal, and due to time, we won't be able to go through all of them. But another key part was improving council spending. How has Brown outlined how this might be achieved?
So this is for this 600 pages to read. I have not read all of them yet. The sort of headline stuff is about if we can get more efficiencies. The reality is that council is always working on more efficiencies, and in fact we actually, I sit on the committee that oversees that work. We're constantly reviewing parts of council organisation to see how they could be more efficient, how they could deliver more for less or deliver more for the same, how we can renegotiate with contractors to get better deals and things like that. That work is constantly happening and actually constantly delivering savings. So yeah, I think we're at something like a $300 million mark over a three-year period of savings. There's some really big figures there. It doesn't get a lot of media. So that work would absolutely continue through the mayoral proposal. And then what potentially might happen as well is some reductions in service levels, which we would have to consult on, which would mean we're doing less, which costs less. And that's something that I think we need to be really careful and clear about when we consult. So people can say, yes, I would like you to save money by not doing that or doing less of that. Or actually, no, I'm happy to keep paying so that work does continue or continues at the same or higher level. So that's going to be really important. One of the things I'm really worried about is the making space for water proposals. So these are the areas that flooded, where we've identified we need to do, put in wetlands or pipes or, rebuild roads and things like that so that houses don't flood. And at the moment, it looks like there's the potential that some of that might have to be deferred in order to save money. And I feel like my community is not going to be that happy about that as a money saver. So we'll see what people think.
Moving on to our second topic today, a new space for homeless support in Auckland city centre, Manaaki Tangata, has opened up as a collaboration between Māori Wardens, Auckland Council and Eke Panaku Development Auckland. For those who don't know, what will this space provide and how will it support people?
So basically it's a cool little low-key space. It's down sort of around where the Tepa Baths are, and it's very much sort of, you won't see any signs on the outside. It's very much designed to be sort of a, hey, here's a friendly low-key space where people who are on the street can access some food, they can have a wash, and they can also get access to Māori Wardens in particular, to be able to hook them up with the support services that are actually available. So it's designed to, it's a trial, we're going to see how it goes. The city mission, the services that they offer are amazing, but what we know about people who are living on the street is that often they can't travel very far from where they sort of hang out and where they've found themselves a posse, where they can be dry and things like that. And so the idea is that, this is in a part of town where at the moment it's really hard for them to access services. The mission stuff at Homeground, which is amazing, is quite a long walk uphill. So the idea is to bring some services in there, make them available and see if that helps people to access further help as well. And the kind of wraparound services that they can get further up the hill. Hopefully, if we can start those conversations with people and get them knowing that this is somewhere safe that they can come and get good support that's non-judgmental, then it helps them with those next steps.
You mentioned that this is a bit of a trial. Does Auckland Council have any plans to open up more spaces such as this?
Not yet. As I say, this is very much sort of a low-key trial in a space that became available unexpectedly because someone else didn't need it, basically. There are already pop-up services that are offered, for example, at the Alan Melville Centre, which is more sort of in the middle of town. And then you do have stuff that is sometimes run out of RTS Square, more sort of mid to uptown, and then the mission itself, Homeground, is right up on Hobson Street next to St Matthews. And there's also some services that are available on Kay Road. So it is about sort of creating a network of low-key, non-judgmental, here's somewhere you can get a bit of help and form some connections which then help you with the next steps. And so Orange Sky, for example, do pop-up stuff around the city with laundry and showers as well. So there's a lot of this kind of stuff happening in the city centre to sort of, yeah, give that low-key, non-judgmental support so that people are in a good space to take that next step, which might actually help them get into housing, help them get access to addiction support services, mental health, that kind of stuff.
That was Councillor Julie Ferry speaking to me about Auckland Mayor Wayne Brown's draft mayoral proposal for Auckland Council's annual plan, as well as a new space for homeless support in Auckland City Centre.
Have you tried mindfulness? Try mindfulness.
City Counselling on 95BFM.
We'll be right back after this short break. Text in your thoughts on 5395. Keep it on the beat.